Design and Construction Strategies is dedicated to enabling a cultural shift in the construction industry and enabling the use of information technology in the construction industry, which has the goals of making it more efficient and transparent, very similar to the healthcare industry. But while it's true that the priority of releasing money expeditiously through local government has been a focus of the first stimulus package, I think the administration's desire for transparency, accountability, and the responsible expenditure of these large sums of money is going to require centralized oversight so that at the end of the day, the federal government is not only going to create the recipe for the pie, they're going to supervise its baking. And I don't know which agency will be tasked with this assignment, but the need is really there, and it's a real challenge because the construction industry doesn't have a business model that lends itself to efficiency or effective management.
And so how can information technology help the construction industry?
Well, it's really an interesting puzzle. In 2003, Stanford University did a study to document productivity increases in industries that accompanied the computer revolution between 1968 and 2003. And they found that most industries had gains of 20 to 30%, but the construction industry didn't improve at all. And it's not because folks in the construction industry don't use technology. It's because the construction industry has such a fragmented business model that technology doesn't improve the overall circumstance. So everyone uses technology for their own purposes, but it doesn't create a common benefit. So I think that another problem is there's not really good statistics, benchmarks, or standardized practices. So, you know, we have good data about the number of housing starts and the number of permits issued and the overall dollar value of construction in place, but meaningful data about efficiency, labor costs, or cost or schedule overruns or product performance is non-existent. So the situation can change if building owners, and the U.S. government is the single largest property owner in the country, take a different tack. And if they insist on a different work process, one that has more clearly articulated data, 3D visualization, and collaboration, it's going to lead to a different result.
So it sounds like you're saying that with smart tools to govern how construction is conducted, that the government could get more building per dollar.
It sounds as though the industry is not doing its own research in how it can best utilize some of the technology that's out there.
Well, you know, that's true in a sense, but really at the moment there's no customer for the research because there's no single entity that considers itself responsible overall for the effective management of the construction industry. It's a very community-based industry, which is kind of amazing because it represents 9% of the gross domestic product. It's the second largest industry in this country next to healthcare. But using technology effectively, and so that's the key. It's not just using technology by itself. The use of technology effectively is important, but the work process has to change and the procurement process has to change. And there has to be somebody who feels empowered to effectively manage a job to get it done right. And when those three things happen, there are some compelling case studies of buildings that come in 20% below budget and 15% ahead of schedule. And those are pretty big numbers.
We're talking this morning to Barbara Heller. She's the president and CEO of Design and Construction Strategies. And she's advocating a new way of doing business and asking the federal government to take part in putting technology into the construction field. But Ms. Heller, I would think that if what you say is true and buildings come in under budget because they're using new and cutting edge technologies, that the field itself would try to implement that into their building strategies.
Well, they are. And there's a tremendous amount of activity going on in terms of adopting this technology. And in fact, the federal government is at the leading edge of that. GSA, the Corps of Engineers, and the State Department are all doing pilot projects with this new technology and have integrated much of it, including sort of the key piece, which is building information modeling, into their programs. But the associated changes with the work process and procurement process have taken a little longer to come around. And, you know, I've been in D.C. for a long time, and I'm a real believer in effective government, and I've also seen some really innovative and creative programs that have been fostered by the federal government. But after 30 years of downsizing, politicizing, and in some cases marginalizing the federal government, it appears to me that agencies are suffering from a form of battered wife syndrome. And now a new day is dawning. And it's a huge emotional shift for agencies to become change agents and innovative leaders after decades of being directed to move in the opposite direction. And it's kind of ironic because changing attitudes doesn't cost anything. But in some respects, it's the hardest thing to accomplish. And I think that's the biggest challenge with the construction sector that's facing the Obama administration.
Well, just a fast question or fast answer. Isn't one of the most effective things the government could do to kind of force the construction industry to get more efficient is simply make sure that every contract has incentives for early finishing and below budget finishing? I mean, it happened like in the Springfield, the mixing bowl, the 395-95 beltway exchange. That was finished early and under budget because there were incentives for the builders to do so.
Yes, I think that having incentives in your contract is incredibly important. But again, it has to be done intelligently and within the context of the project to be truly effective.